But it was, we didn't have a lead.
All right, everybody, we've got 4:01 o'clock. I'm a little behind schedule for the December 18th Rogers Water and Sewer Commission meeting. We're going to call that to order. We need to have action on the minutes from November 20th, 2023.
I make a motion that we approve the minutes from November 20th, 2023.
Second.
We've got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. The ayes carry 5-0. Next, we're going to go to financial reports.
Well, looking forward to seeing everyone here tomorrow. I'll meet you at that place.
I'll eat something in Times Square, okay?
So went through, there was a little mistake in the documents here. I redid it. Matt and I redid it. We had an issue on some expenses, the way the salaries were accrued. We redid that. So here's the financial memo. All it changed were the expenses. Billed revenue for the month, November, is up 9.98%. Consumption is up 5.68%. Then I went through, revenues increased by $154,000. We had a profit of $493,292 for last year. But you go through our consumption here, residential was up 6.15%, commercial's up 15%, and industrial water is actually down 2.59, but industrial represents 11% of our revenue here at Rogers. Commercial has really moved up in a way, as you can imagine, 32%, and then 57% is residential. So with residential and commercial moving ahead, plowing ahead as they are, even a little dip in industrial doesn't hurt us. But fiscal year-to-date collections of access impact fee are $375,000, and that's over what it was last year, $278,000, and a little below what it was in 22, $439,000. So it's kind of turning the corner. We don't know what's our crystal ball look like in planning. You know, you just don't know. But it's a good sign to be here. But year-to-date profits more than prior year, about $42,000. The difference is slightly from what's on here because of the air meter. Sewer is up 11.64. Again, you can see where that comes from. Sewer consumption's up 8.2 over last year. Profit is 642 and profit 348 for last year. Revenue's up 127,000. Expenses decreased by 166,000. And again, the revenue for impact fee is 719,500. Last year it was 456 and 760. In FY22, so started out kind of with a whimper, but came back pretty good as of late. We'll see where it is. Total restricted and unrestricted funds are $50 million. That's a slight round up. We had a slight round up last month of where we were at about 52, but we wrote a big check to the equipment manufacturer for 1.3. So water funds increased by approximately 3.9, and sewer funds by 4.7. $8.5 million and $50 million in total funds are restricted. Are there any questions? If not, go to the next slide.
Reports, you see a lot of new stuff kind of opened up that she's inspecting here, gives you an
appreciate that respect, and pretty proud of him anyway, even though he's leaving. He's moving states, and he's going to be running his own plant down there, so I'm really proud of him. He's making a good career move, and I'm happy he's developing into that young man. But him giving us that kind of a lead time notice speaks well of him, but it gives us a chance to train uptown and start working and make it a better plan than just a reaction plan. So, proud of that. Spent some time on Project Accounting, some software we're working on. That was me personally. It was a pretty good chunk out there in the middle of the day for a little bit. Commissioner Soltemeyer and Councilman Surley came out to the plant to do some tours and check things out there. Always happy to entertain and show people around. Really proud of the facility and our people out there. So overall, we had 273 million gallons coming in the front door. If you figure an 8.5 million gallons drive average, that would be 255. So overall, we treated about 18 million gallons over the month for I-9, which is pretty low. We did have a fairly dry month, 2.5 inches of rain. Go through that too fast or create any questions? All right. Thank you.
Some of what is coming up on this map over here in Nigeria is stuff that old projects that were ported over from the old system that didn't have geolocates attached with them. And so a lot of this. So we only review projects here at Rogers. So.
That's your imprint.
It originates with the design professional or the owner filling out documents into the city works portal, and then those projects then get assigned by the planning department of the city to us for review.
And then every note, so you all have the ability to make notes, so anything that if you want to go back and look at a particular project, how many times have been reviewed, what happened in each review, it's all loaded in the system.
It's all loaded in the system. That's one thing this does a lot better than our own system of, you know, emails, phone calls, and Excel sheets and access databases.
That's great.
There's a lot more documentation involved. So we're really excited. I can't get into a whole lot of details about it because honestly, I've got staff that does that for me.
But this is also just an intro. It's for your staff. It's not, I can go and look at GIS today. I can go look at the city website. It's public information. Is this public information or is it proprietary in terms of just this department?
So, I'm not exactly sure how that would look from if you're submitting. If you're submitting a project, I know you can get in there at any time and look at project status and what comments have been received.
But this, I guess, more from a higher level, maybe not granular into that, but if this is something that an individual out in the community wanted to see, is this something that they can dial it, that they can sign into? So, I see a couple of handshakes. No, it's proprietary.
It's all permission based, but there should be something that's pretty basic.
So the first thing I ask is just who has access, because if I want to see, if I want to know what projects are currently within the city of Rochester, I can GIS, I can pull, I can get through the planning department, and I can pull those up, and then you can also then go from that project to what was submitted to the planning commission. But I can do that as just anybody out there in the community. This is, it's username, password based to get to this.
To this, it is.
I know
on the city website you can look at a map of current projects.
Yes.
I'm not sure how up to date that is, or if it's real time with what's in this database or not.
Okay.
I can.
No, it's just I'm just more to understand. I think this is great information. Have it at one place where you can get to it. Obviously, it's got to be populated and kept up to date. But your ability to pull, or even ours, when we see the number of projects that you review and how many times you have reviewed those, this is great information because you can get to it pretty quick. So, thank you.
Absolutely. As far as the project status, Todd mentioned the technology meeting on the plant capacity improvement project. A couple of these projects I went ahead and marked as on hold just because we haven't really seen any movement for a while from the city. Poplar Street from 8th Street over to 1st and then South 28th Place. As far as I know, all these are still slated at some point. We just haven't seen a lot of movement on them. One thing that it has come back up, and this is another project we haven't seen movement on in a while, but my understanding is they want to fit it in under this bond. It's the Oak Street pedestrian improvements from 28th to 2nd. We do have quite a bit of utility work slated for that project, replacing some AC water mains as part of those trail improvements.
That's a bit of a champion of sewer improvements. That was one that we had concern early on, making sure we communicated and that
right.
It was smooth. How's that project going?
It's going slower than we hoped. We have a coordination meeting tomorrow morning on site with Pinnacle Country Club and the contractor, landscape contractor, and everybody. Hopefully have a good roadmap to get everything done before the spring, at least get through the golf course and we won't disturb their operations. And then on the completed, we've got several that are substantially complete as of last week. East Pine, we had some work on Arkansas Street, or Chestnut, for the city with extended storm sewer up there. Centennial Park is over there by Parkside Public, is substantially complete. administrative, on the city work side, you know, we're still in this stabilization period where we're kind of working out the kinks of the software. And one of the things we're doing is implementing some inspection processes into the city works and the GIS. And one thing we're working on is trying to get all of our proposed assets. So water and sewer infrastructure that's been designed but not yet under construction or in the construction process on the maps, number one, so that we can assign work and inspection against that asset, and that'll be recorded, and so we can look at those inspection records. And what that also does is it allows field operations or anybody else that wants to coordinate those utility work to have visibility on what our planned improvements are. For example, this would come to play in when we're looking at improving a boring permit. If somebody's looking at boring along a corridor, and we look and see, you know, we've got a water sewer line here, you know, that's something that needs to be coordinated, you know, make sure we're not in the same, not trying to go in the same space. So we're really excited about that. And then, as Todd mentioned, we had a meeting with Tyler, a couple meetings with Tyler regarding project accounting. And so this was really one of the big pain points was not having a link between project accounting and, you know, the front office accounting here. And really what it boiled down to was two separate spreadsheets that we had to compare at the end of the year and see, make sure we matched. And then if we didn't match, go sifting through paperwork and trying to find where those discrepancies were. So I'm really excited about getting this up and going. This will be able to track all of our financial activities under our projects and have it linked up with the front office. And then another part of that is with the executive timesheet software, we can allocate time to some of these contracts, so that it's also designed. Coordination with Arkansas Department of Health. About a year ago, we signed a memorandum of understanding that Rogers Water, we have qualified engineers on staff, and they're allowing us to review smaller projects without having to send those projects to review in Little Rock. And so they requested an audit, and so we're gathering that information, sending it to them, everything that we've approved, and sitting down there for their review. And we're working out a system since we've gone to the City Works. We don't write a letter, an approval letter, and send it and copy them on that anymore. So we're working out a system to coordinate that with the state.
I think a project. When I read that, it said that all projects. It seemed like a good task at the end. It was very impressive. So basically, it said you could review them now that we're on them. It sounds like it's, will they do that each year, or is that a good task?
They really should say most projects. Most projects are small enough. If they're less than 2,000 linear feet of water and sewer utilities and less than 100 living units, we have the authority to review those in house without requiring state reviews.
And my comment is more about the fact that they wanted to look at all of them. So it's like you do it and have them look at it. I didn't know, it sounded like it might be a big project that pull all that together and send it to them, so it's not.
No, it might just be because we're roughly at a year in, they just want to, you know, look and make sure to see how the system's going. It is, I don't know how many actual projects have.
They want to be notified every time we've approved a project, which we've been doing, but they, you know, they want a list of everything that we've approved to make sure we're doing what the memorandum said, basically. The only other thing I've got is we've been working with field operations on the lead service line inventory. You know, this is kind of a really long-term effort that's, you know, is ultimately mandated by the EPA, and I think a lot of jurisdictions are dealing with this and trying to figure out do is identify those homes within that time period, and that's basically older than the mid-1980s, and you kind of narrow that down, which really, in Rogers, is more than half the town is newer than the 1980s, so we're trying to narrow down that the number of potential lead services that we're going to go physically investigate. And so we kind of put a little task force together to kind of go about mapping out that long-term process.
By the way, I don't think we have any lead service lines. We have some gooseneck in front of Galvin. But that's it. And we're trying to get that down. We'll share that with you when we get it further distilled down to where that is.
But that's so for you to understand, when you say lead service line, those are our lines to someone's house?
Could be both. Could be
or is it from our meter
and the meter to the house. And we're mandated to identify both of those within a certain time.
That's the second part. Because it's one thing if it's our pipe to their, when it goes from the house. Because today, if something breaks from the meter to the house, it's not responsible as a homeowner. But we're supposed to at least be able to recognize that to let them know. So our responsibility would be to replace the lead pipes service lines.
Yes, well.
Over time.
Up to our meter.
Up to the meter.
Yeah, and then there's some talk. It's not done. We have a lot of community and a lot of conversation about this, but until it's absolute, all we have to do now is get an inventory. And we, by the way, we already checked schools and daycares. We did that when this first came out to find out if anybody had that figured out.
It was one of the 60 minutes or one of the programs that you continue to hear that about communities that have those kinds of issues because they have old pipes and you've got lead water.
Fortunately, lead wasn't a big deal here. I mean, when you had a rigid pipe that had to be connected to the main, there was a little gooseneck, they called it, and that was made out of lead because it was nice and flexible. We have those, and then it's galvanized. A lot of that's been replaced anyway because galvanized doesn't last. But anyway, yeah, we're trying. We don't think it's a very large area, but we're doing what we're supposed to do to get distilled down to the smallest we can.
So basically, that's October 2024. We really need to have a kind of a plan to identify all the potential lead service lines in.
We know it's out there to whatever degree, and then at some point, if it's been identified, this commission identifies it, then there's got to be some sort of number attached to it, and someone's paying for it. So just from that standpoint, we're going to call them out.
And there are a lot of grants. Let's say there's this many $1 billion in grants, but we don't qualify. So there's grants, and there's principal forgiveness and whatnot, but we don't have qualify for any of that. So number one, it's somewhat dynamic right now, but what we do know is that we have to get this inventory by a certain date. And we'll get that inventory. Once we have the good inventory, then we'll be able to assign a number or estimate to that and see what we're up against. It's a big job.
Thank you. and so we've been using central bidding for a number of I think a couple of years now, and we have had a number of bidders that have submitted electronic bids under that system, and this is we have to update this on a yearly basis, designating central bidding as our bidding service vendor, and so this resolution will continue that for another year.
I make a motion to approve resolution 2331, designated central bidding as electronic bidding service vendor and website for public works projects for calendar 2024, as presented.
Second. We have a motion and a second to approve resolution number 2331. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. The ayes carry 5-0.
Thank you. Brian, the majority of people are the submitting physical. The majority of them are still submitting physical documents.
You all have to have employees all electronic.
Well, we'd like to just put that up there as an option.
Yeah.
It doesn't cost us anything. I think it costs them less than $100 to submit a bid that way. But you know, it's nice to have that option. We are seeing a lot more bidders from out of the local area, so prevents them from having to make a trip if they want to use that option.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Amber is off today. We both wish she was here. Because she's the expert. She's done a lot of work to she's done a lot of work to get this done. This was, I don't know how many internal meetings and getting them all together. And this is to change the actual Chapter 54, Article 6 city ordinances. So this one will go up to city council as well. But what this does, this puts in place our fog policy, or updates it. And you can see through here, there's a lot of items in here. And this is just to protect. All of this is to protect our system, protect the plant, protect John from fog pipes and whatnot. This is all best practices that she's gained from national conferences and talking to other people, regional.
One of the things that we've done in the past is whenever we wanted to update this to a more current standard, we've had to send our policy over to city council. Honestly, they're not that granular with the way they review things. So what this does is that allows us to do, similar to what we've done with our engineering standards over here, is we have moved that, we're asking them to move that authority over here for our policy. And so then our policies will be published, and then the code will just refer to our policies. So that's the big deal about what we're trying to do here. You know, Brent's right. If she was here, we're going to take one person.
I thought as well that a lot of this you only hear y'all talk about, but yes. It actually can see in the policy the definitions of who's the authority. So it was a good document for somebody who doesn't understand what the FSCs and the FOGs. And so thank you for that and all the exhibits to let her know that.
Really good job. There were a lot of competing interests in that.
That was, so, and there's a lot of it's very, it's really minor stuff, but it's, you know, we run into small issues with the code as it's written, but it's a big deal to go first to you guys and then go over to city council just to get, you know, a slight turn of phrase where, okay, let's clarify what we really mean here. And so it hasn't been updated in a long time. I can't remember what it is, but we feel like just having to come to you guys makes fun. Okay, this is what it says. We need to change it to this because we're running into this. It's a lot faster. We feel like we'll be able to maintain and keep our policy
for Article 6 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Rogers, Arkansas, and for other purposes. Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve Resolution 2332. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Ayes have it.
Opposite of Resolution 2332. And please look at this. That's good work.
We want it.
You all's involved. It was
concise.
It was, well, just good, you know, I hear y'all for these words around. I'm not really quite sure what they all mean, so it was nice to say to find it.
Good afternoon. Submitting here Resolution 23-33, and this is for authorizing disposition of IT equipment. So this is essentially the IT trash pile, which it's not a whole lot this time around. Handful of printers. We have an ancient server. It used to be our backup server on here. And all in all, it's the total value of depreciation is less than $10. So staff recommends approval of Resolution 23-23 for authorizing disposition of certain obsolete IT equipment and for other purposes.
Move approval of Resolution 23-33.
I'll second. Motion and a second to approve Resolution number 2333. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay.
This next resolution, you've heard us talking about the Persimmon Tower and the elevated tower over here. You'd let us take it clear off the system so that we could get out of the lease with AT&T and everyone else had already left. AT&T really needs this property. They need a monopole there. They have suggested that in the plan, and I'm probably repeating myself, but they said, you know, you're really going to have to coordinate it with us when you tear down that tower while we're putting up this monopole and getting everything over in continuity of service. And we kind of thought to ourselves, well, why do we want to do this? We don't need this thing. You do. So the idea here, and it's palpable to all parties, the city, RWU, and I believe the AT&T at this point in time will see, is to actually sell the property with the tower on it, they have to tear it down upon purchase, and then they can coordinate building the new pole, construction of that. So all this does here is authorize us to head that direction and come up with some type of bidding price. And we'll have to meet all of the state requirements for this, everything else, and then put in the condition that that tower is to be demolished. Yes, on whoever.
So there's not an existing lease on the property with anyone here?
There's a lease for antennas on our tower that when we took that tower out of service and physically disconnected, ended the lease. So, okay. And I think that ends pretty quickly. We've been trying to figure out a way to do this. We're not going to kick them off the tower in the meantime, obviously. But this will be open to whoever wants it. It'll be a bid.
It's good if it makes the headache go to somebody else.
Yeah.
Now let's just wipe our hands of it.
And it might be a couple hundred thousand to tear that thing down. Yeah. We don't know exactly, but it'd be easier and better for us and our ratepayers to let someone else. So this staff does recommend resolution number 2334, authorizing the sale of the Persimmon Street elevated storage tank, recommending approval of the sale by the Rogers City Council.
I'm making a motion to approve resolution number 2334.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve resolution 2334. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Mr. Gary Files.
obviously, if they do the whole thing, we can get some lease, but I'm just thinking that it's just the land and not even do it.
We have no long-term plans, any master plan for anything. That water tower was submerged. It was not required in any of the master plans that we've had, that we gotten, so.
So once we sell it, we're done. We can't be held liable for any damage.
Correct, and right now it is a liability.
Yeah.
We're gonna be painted, torn down or something. We don't need it for any number of reasons.
So will it be required that they take it down?
Yes.
When they?
That'll be a condition of the sale. That they demolish it within a certain period of time.
That's a good point.
So I'm sure only tower companies would be interested.
Captain, this is resolution number 2335. It's a resolution approving the cost of living adjustment, COLA, for employee salaries and wages and for other purposes. Section 1 outlines the intent of the resolution, which would be a cost of living adjustment of 3.5%, which would go into effect January 1, 2024. Over the years, the utility has always tried to shadow and mirror what the city does. This is no exception. We clarified that with the city, and their COLA will also be 3.5%. We're asking for your consideration.
I'll make a motion that we pass resolution number 2335, a resolution approving a cost of living adjustment COLA for employee salaries and wages and for other purposes.
Second. So, because we straddled a year on our budget, what do you think? We billed it 3.5, so we've got a half a year in this year, and this starts January. So did we build in that 3.5?
We built in, I'm not sure. We would have been a little conservative.
Okay, now as I looked at that budget, it was just, we got about a half a year, but this is sort of straddle that year. So as long as we've got that built in or something, then it works.
Yeah. And then when we do our next budget for next year, we'll be a little ahead of them, but we'll work with the city to kind of try to feel that out.
Because even typically, I know when the mayor presents the budget, that's kind of, it was always started with a COLA increase. But that was, you're doing calendar years, so you're kind of starting fresh. Over here, you straddle your 6 months on both sides of it. So as long as you've got something built in, I just didn't know what that percentage was going to be back in. So, thank you.
All right, I think we have a motion and a second, correct?
Yes.
All right, a motion and a second to approve resolution 2335, approving the cost of living adjustment COLA for employee salary and wages and